I want you to turn to the 8th chapter of John. We'll be using this for our text tonight, but I want to read you a verse of Scripture from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. Now we're not talking about the liberty which our nation provides. I wish every man could live in a free country and enjoy the liberty that we enjoy. But a man can live in a free country like America and still be in bondage. For our Lord in this 8th chapter of John kept talking about being free. Being free, being free indeed. He said in verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free. And then he said in verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now these Jews answered him when he said that, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They said, why, we're Abraham's children. We were never in bondage to any man. What are you talking about, being made free? You and I might speak like they spoke. We were never in bondage to any man. We don't know anything about slavery and bondage, do we? Perhaps we're in bondage to ourselves and don't know it. Perhaps we forged our own chains. They did. They were in bondage and did not know it. They were in slavery and did not know it. That's the reason Christ talked to them about being free. Now, we're not talking about the freedom of this body, political freedom, social freedom. We're talking about spiritual freedom. And it's very possible for us to be like these Jews, free politically and free socially, but in bondage spiritually. Let me give you a few illustrations. First of all, verse 19 of John 8. Then said they unto him, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. My friends, there's a bondage of ignorance. Ignorance is a bondage. These people were in the bondage of ignorance. Ignorance blinds people. Ignorance enslaves them to lies. Ignorance sends them down a path of destruction. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded them. There is no greater bondage than the bondage of ignorance. Did you know that? That's what Christ was talking about. He said to these men, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they said, we're not in bondage. And what he's talking about here is the bondage of ignorance. They were enslaved in ignorance. They did not know God. I'll show you another bondage. And that is the bondage of religious tradition. Look back at verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Their tradition had bound them so tightly it had emptied them of compassion. Their religious tradition had wrapped them so tightly, enslaved them, that it had filled them with self-righteousness and made them judges of others. It had made their tradition of more important than the individual. Their Sabbath day was more important than a man being healed. Their Sabbath day was more important than a man being fed. Their law was more important than the individual and the compassion they ought to have had. They were wrapped up in religious tradition and enslaved in this tradition. In Matthew chapter 23, our Lord said this to these men. in Matthew 23, he said, you tithe anise, mint, cumin, Matthew 23, verse 23, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, the more important matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You ought to have done the other, but not to leave these undone. A man can be free, his body can be free, politically, socially, and yet be enslaved, in bondage, to ignorance, to religious tradition. These men were. This is what taught Christ is. I'll show you another bondage. There's the bondage of ignorance, and there's no worse slavery than ignorance. There's no worse bondage than ignorance. There's no worse cell than to be in the dark cell of ignorance and not know what's going on out there. Or to be wrapped up in tradition. Or to be in the bondage of doctrinal creeds. In verse 33, they said, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. What are you talking about? You shall be free. Now look at verse 37. Christ said, I know you're Abraham's seed. But my word hath no place in you. You seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. They had their creed. They had their orthodoxy. They had their doctrinal position all set, all established. And his word did not fit into their doctrinal pattern. So therefore they rejected his word. Now how many of us have been in this same position? We have established our systematic theology. We have established our doctrinal pattern, and it leaves no room for the Scriptures. We be Abraham's seed. Christ said, I know you're Abraham's seed. I know you're orthodox. I know you're traditional. I know you're fundamental. I know that you have your rules and laws, and yet my word hath no place in you. I'll tell you, I don't want to be so much of a Baptist that I cannot read a portion of God's word and receive it with joy. I don't want to be so much of a Calvinist that I can't read the Scriptures dealing with responsibility and not rejoice therein. I don't want to be so much of a person bound to an ordinance that I cannot read God's word and follow what it says. Charles Spurgeon once said, he who tries to be consistent with himself, and oh, how often religious people try to be consistent with their particular brand. We have our names, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Nazarenes, Pentecostal, all the rest of them, Calvinist, Arminian, Fundamentalist, Baptistic, all these things. He who tries to be consistent with himself will find in the end that he's been consistent with a fool. Beware of the slavery of doctrinal creeds. Names other than the name of Christ are enslaving. Now that's true. Whether you call yourself a postmillennialist or an amillennialist or a premillennialist, if you get in under a name, in submission to a name, you're in slavery. Because you're not open to receive the broad revelation of God's word. That's what's wrong with all these names. Beware of the slavery of doctrinal creeds. Seek the liberty of the word. Seek the liberty of the word. It's a bondage. Ye shall know the truth, he said, and the truth will make you free. Free. Why, they said, we're Abraham's seed. We're not in bondage. Yes, you are, he said. You're in the bondage of ignorance. Ignorance has blinded you. You don't know me and you don't know my father. You're in the ignorance, the bondage of ignorance. You're in the bondage of religious tradition. You have a tradition that says this must be done, whether it hurts the individual, whether it is void of compassion or mercy or faith. It must be done because our tradition calls for it. He said, you're in the bondage of doctrinal creeds. And then, verse 15, there is the bondage of prejudice. Prejudice. Look at verse 15. He said, you judge after the flesh. You look on a matter and judge it according to the flesh. Are we in this bondage? Do we glory in appearance? Do we judge according to the flesh? We have to. We can't look on the heart. Then we ought not judge at all. Can we learn something from the story of David's anointing? Turn to 1 Samuel 16. In 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now listen to this. And the Lord said to Samuel, verse 1, 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said, Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And I have provided me, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show thee what thou wilt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? He said, peaceably. I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. That was the oldest boy and I guess the most handsome. And he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said, Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. There's the bondage of prejudice, judging a man by the color of his skin, judging a man by his dress, judging a man by his outward appearance. That's bondage. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I want to look at this tonight now. Are we in bondage? Are we truly free? Has the Son really made us free? Has the Son really made us free? Are we really free? Now, I know it's insulting to any American to talk about being in bondage or in slavery. But I want to point out three things, and let's every one of us look into our own hearts. First of all, in Christ, there is true liberty, there is true freedom from the bondage of sin. From the bondage of sin. Freedom from the bondage of sin. This is the first liberty of the believer. And yet there are multitudes of professing Christians, and multitudes of professing Christians who constantly carry about with them guilt, depression, fear. Is this consistent with freedom? Are we free indeed? Our Lord said, I have cast your sins behind my back. Our Lord said, I'll remember your sins no more. Our Lord said, I've separated your sins from me as far as the east is from the west. Our Lord said, I have cast thy sins into the depths of the sea. Yet here I am, still depressed, still filled with guilt, still in fear because of my sin. I am not free. I am not free. I am not free indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now here is true freedom. That's not freedom. If I go about under guilt and depression and fear and constantly troubled over my sin, I'm not free. Because in Christ, truly in Christ, turn to Romans 8:1. We are free from the penalty of sin. Romans 8, chapter 1. Now look at it. There is therefore now no condemnation. And the word is judgment. No judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. The moment a sinner believes and trusts in the crucified Lord, his pardon at once he receives. Salvation is full through the blood. Paul said in verse 33 of Romans 8, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? This true liberty, this true spiritual liberty in Christ totally frees us from the penalty of sin. There is no penalty. I have nothing about which to be depressed or troubled or in fear because of the penalty of sin. It's been removed. And I'll tell you something else. This freedom in Christ, if the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. This freedom gives me total freedom from the guilt of sin. Listen to what Spurgeon said about this. Is a believer no more a sinner in God's sight? In the person of Christ, the believer is no more a sinner in God's sight than the angel Gabriel. An angel cannot be more pure than the one who is washed in the blood of Christ, for in Christ's blood we are whiter than the snow. He asked this question, do you understand how that our very guilt is taken away? Here I stood, a guilty rebel. Christ came and said to me, I will stand where you stand. I will take your place. I will bear your guilt. I will suffer for it. I will die for it. He gives me his royal robe of righteousness, and he takes my place, gives me his place, and in him I stand free from every sin. There is not and can never be one charge against me made by anyone in heaven, earth, or hell, for I am holy in Christ. And he continued, therefore I refuse to bear about in my mind and body the guilt which sent my Lord to the cross. I refuse to be depressed in my heart and soul under a load of guilt that has already been settled at the cross of Calvary. I'm free indeed. You see what he's saying? That's what our Lord is saying to these Jews here. They ran around talking about freedom. They were free. He said, you're not free. If you knew the truth, you'd be free. If the Son ever sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The bird is out of the cage. And we, what we call Bible believers and religionists, we talk about freedom. We've been saved from our sins, and yet we carry about that load of guilt, that load of depression, and that constant fear and those constant doubts. Free? Is this freedom? Scripture tells us there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace. Come unto me, Christ said, I'll give you rest. Christ has freed us from the penalty of sin. Sin's penalty just doesn't even exist. And sin's guilt no longer exists. There's no reason for me to bear about the same guilt for which my Lord died, and I refuse to do it. I'm free from guilt. Now, this doesn't free us from an awareness of our infirmities and an awareness of our guilt and an awareness of our failure. It just makes us lean more on Him. All right, notice this. Turn to Romans 6, verse 14. We're not only free from sin's penalty, totally free, and free from sin's guilt, but we're free, totally free, from sin's power, the reigning power of sin. Romans 6, verse 14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, you're under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, you're under the grace of God. Now the unbeliever, the lost person, is under the dominion, the reigning power of an evil nature. He delights in it. He finds his happiness in the flesh. While the believer recognizes a nature of flesh in him, he doesn't delight in it. He delights in truth, beauty, righteousness, and love. Sin may remain in the believer, but it cannot reign in the believer. Now, here's the difference. The unbeliever treats religion as a visitor. The believer treats sin as a visitor. He will not be dominated by this unwelcome guest. I am a child of God. I am in Christ Jesus. I am an heir of glory. I rejoice in Christ, who is my King and my Lord. And I want my life to be a life that will glorify his name and please him and be in accordance with his will. Sin does not reign. It is not my delight. Someone said to Spurgeon one time, "Well, you think a Christian can live like he wants to?" He said, "No, I don't." He said, "I wish I could live like I want to. I want to be just like Christ. I wish I could be just like him." Brethren, this freedom in Christ, this freedom is a true freedom. It's free indeed. It's free from sin's penalty. We don't fear it. We don't dread it. It doesn't even exist. We're free from the shackles and fetters of sin's condemnation. And we're totally free from sin's guilt. Christ has borne it, paid for it, carried it away. Carried it like the scapegoat out in the wilderness, and it's no longer upon us. I am as holy and unreprovable and unblameable in God's sight as the angel Gabriel, and more so because I'm in Christ. And I am free from the dominion of sin, the reigning power of sin. Sin is there, but sin is there as a visitor. Sin is not a member of the family. I'll show you another freedom. If you will, turn quickly to Romans 8 again. In Christ, we're free from the bondage of sin. It's penalty, it's guilt, it's dominion. Someday, it's their presence. We're going to be like Christ. But secondly, in Christ, we have another freedom. Freedom from fear. Freedom from the bondage of fear. Look at Romans 8, verse 15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now listen to a few statements here. Some people are honest because they fear the policeman. Some people are sober because they fear shame. Some people are moral because they fear public opinion. Some people are religious because they fear hell. One man said this one time. I was reading his testimony. He said, "I went to God's house because I feared not to. I prayed because I feared if I didn't, I'd suffer misfortune. If I thank God for a blessing, it was because I was afraid if I didn't, I wouldn't get another blessing. If I performed a good work, it was because I feared that if I did not do good occasionally, I'd miss a reward in heaven. I suddenly woke up one day and realized that I was motivated entirely by fear." And here it says, we have not received the bondage again to fear. That's not our motivation. It is not fear. Of Christ frees us from the fear of the law. We go to God's house because, as David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. We study and we pray because we love His presence and love His Word. We give because we want to share the blessings that He has given us with others less fortunate. We are not motivated by fear of God, but by love for Christ. The love of Christ constraineth me. The love of Christ motivates me. In Christ, there's a freedom from fear. The fear of the law, the fear of hell, the fear of judgment. And then Christ frees us from the fear of death. Now, the world calls death the grim reaper. Most men look upon death as their greatest enemy. Most men are slaves to the fear of death. They tremble and shrink at any thought or mention of death. I believe just as Christ gives us freedom from the bondage of sin and freedom from the bondage of fear of the law, its curse, He gives us freedom from the fear of death. What is death? Well, first of all, the Word of God calls it sleep. Those who sleep in Jesus. You know, if death is sleep, then we die every night when we close our eyes in sleep. Did you know that? We die when we close our eyes in sleep. Every night. And won't the passing of the believer be something like that? He closes his eyes on this earth and opens them in the presence of the Lord. The hymn writer put it this way, when comes to the weary a blessed release, when upward I pass to God's kingdom of peace. When free from the woes that on earth we must bear, we'll say good night here, good morning up there. When fadeth the day and dark shadows draw nigh, with Christ close at hand, it's not death to die. For He'll wipe every tear, He'll roll away every care. We'll say good night here and good morning up there. Good morning up there where Christ is the light. Good morning up there where cometh no night. When we step from this earth to God's heaven so fair, we'll say good night here. Good morning up there. What is death? It is sleep. What is death? The Scripture says it's gain. We don't fear sleep, nor do we fear gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We gain a new body. We gain eternal glory. We gain eternal happiness. What is death? It's deliverance. Paul said, who shall deliver me? It's deliverance from sin, from sorrow, from sickness, from trials, from tears. That's what death is. It's deliverance. Do you have this freedom? That's what he's talking about here in John 8. If you know the truth will make you free. Ignorance is slavery. Religious tradition is just another form of bondage. Doctrinal creed is just another form of bondage. Prejudice, custom, all these things that are just something to enslave us and keep us under a bondage of fear. But if you know the truth, it'll set you free like a bird out of a cage. If you know the Son, if the Son really comes in, the S-O-N, the Son of God, why, you shall be free indeed. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. There's liberty, freedom from the bondage of sin. It's guilt. It's dominion. It's penalty. Freedom from the fear of the law. We don't serve God out of fear. We don't give. We don't work. We don't pray. We don't worship. None of these things from a fear of hell. But because we love Him. And then last of all, He gives us a freedom from some things, and He gives us a freedom to some things. I've given you the negative side. We're free from sin, from the law, from fear, from the fear of death. But we've got a freedom to some things. Here are four of them. First of all, we're free to claim every promise of this blessed book. It's yours. You're free to take it. It's not for the unbeliever. It's not for the unconverted. Here is a never-failing treasure that's all yours. Here's a well that never runs dry that's all yours. Here's a table spread for you and for me. Every promise is ours in Christ. It's yours. You're free to take it. Take it. Secondly, we're free to come to the table of the Lord. Here is his body broken for us. Here is his blood shed for us. Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. My blood shed for you. Eat it. There it is. It's yours. We're free to come to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4 says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. You're free to. Having boldness, brethren, to come into the holiest of all by the blood of Christ. Come on into the presence of God. You're welcome. You're free to come in. And then we're free to come to heaven. Scripture says, when the king came in, he saw a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how'd you come in hither not having on a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. And the Lord said, bind him hand and foot and cast him out. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But you're free to come. Because you have on the prepared wedding garment, that blessed robe of righteousness which Christ gives to you who believe on him, who trust him, who love him. You're free to come into the presence of God. Freedom. I read these two passages this yesterday and this morning. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. Liberty. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray through Christ our Redeemer that we may be delivered from the bondage, slavery of tradition, ceremonialism, legalism, human works, human understanding, that we may be delivered from sin's guilt, dominion, penalty, and power, from the fear of the law and the fear of bondage and the fear of death, that we may be brought into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, that we may walk with thee in a precious and sweet fellowship, that we may realize our inheritance and rejoice in it, that glorious inheritance which we have in Christ Jesus, the precious promises of this book, precious deliverance from all guilt and all sin to a glorious peace with the living God. Our Father, speak to our hearts through thy word. Give us an understanding. Grant, O Lord, that we shall partake of and enjoy this blessed inheritance which Christ has purchased for us through his own blood on Calvary's cross. Give us wisdom in Christ, righteousness in Christ, sanctification in Christ. Help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of thy blessed Son. Get glory through the ministry of the word in this place and where thy word is preached. This night, we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Ronnie, you come lead us in a hymn.
Let's sing 221. Stand, please.
Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercy sure and Christ.